Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Medical Minds Conversations with Guthrie Experts. I'm Steve Ostrous, joined as always by Dr. Corinne Johnston. Dr. Johnston, how's it going? Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. I'm getting over a little bit of a summer cold, but so if you hear any changes in my voice, I'm okay. just working my way through.
Doctors get colds too.
They do. Everyone likes to share.
Yeah, that's so nice. So today, you know, we're hearing more and more, and you were bringing this up to me about, sports medicine, and its relationship with medicine in general, and just kind of talking about the different types of ailments that might come our way, especially this time of year when people are getting outside more and becoming a little more active.
Yeah, I think maybe one of the misnomers is sports medicine. We think it's just for athletes, but two of our specialists are joining us today to talk to us a little bit more about that, and then one or two of the applications that they use in their offices every day.
Yeah, I'm really excited because it's some stuff I've never really heard about, and you know, I joke all the time that I'm not exactly an athlete. I mean, I played sports when I was younger, but I'm not somebody you would consider an athlete. So when I hear about some of these different techniques, and as a way to help people heal a little bit quicker, it's really pretty cool.
Well, Steve, today we're welcoming two of our newer physicians to the Guthrie Complement, Dr. Alexander Porter and Dr. Dexter Dale. Both Dr. Porter and Dr. Dale are family medicine physicians who specialize in non-operative sports medicine. So welcome, doctors. We're excited to talk to you today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
Do you want to start by talking about, you know, what non-operative sports medicine means?
So in my mind, I see most people as athletes, you know, depending on you. My goal as a non-operative sports medicine provider is really to get people functioning at the level they want to function at, be doing the activities they want to do on a day-to-day basis, whether that's playing semi-pro ball, playing for your college team, playing for your high school, playing pickleball on the weekends, really just getting people functional and doing the stuff that they want to do. And the biggest thing that I think that Dr. Porter and I both do is really like counsel our patients on how to rehab and strengthen and build up what they have so that we can hopefully prevent surgery and intervention that'll keep them down and out for a really long time. So really just trying to help them build up to do the things functionally that they want to be doing on a day-to-day basis.
And there was a year, an extra year of training in, right? That for folks that are listening, not just a family medicine residency, but another year on top of that.
Cool. Yeah, it was an additional fellowship year at a primary care sports medicine fellowship program.
So we're here today. One of the big topics we want to talk about is what's referred to as PRP injections. So I guess, you know, Dr. Porter, if you want to kick us off and kind of talk about what that means exactly for the average person listening or watching.
Yeah, so PRP stands for platelet-rich plasma. And in our blood, we have different components. We have red blood cells, we have hemoglobin, we have white blood cells, but we also have platelets. And platelets in our blood, they do a lot of things from trying to stop us from bleeding. But they found that when we take those platelets and we spin them down in a centrifuge, which is this big fancy machine that just spins the blood, we are able to concentrate those platelets. And what comes with those platelets are these growth factors and healing factors. And so if we inject that into an environment, like let's say some mild osteoarthritis or a tendonitis, we can induce a healing response.
So what, I guess, who's a good candidate for this then?
It's a very good question. Really, folks that have tried like conservative measures, and kind of what I mean by that is sometimes, you know, certain like rest activity modifications, maybe work with physical therapy or occupational therapy, maybe some over-the-counter, you know, medications they've tried or some heat and such. And if those folks are not getting better, And they have, you know, certain pathology, like a tendonitis or mild osteoarthritis, they would be people that would be candidates for this therapy.
And walk us through what that looks like for the patient, because where do these platelet-rich plasma, where does that come from?
Very great question. Yes. So it comes from your blood. So what happens is we first schedule a consultation visit because we want to make sure PRP is the best option for you and that there are other conservative measures that we can try first so that we can maybe get you better and go in sooner. But then once we have that visit, then we have you come back and we draw blood from you. And so it's just like if you give blood to the Red Cross or something of that nature, we just draw out a certain amount of blood and then we spin that down. And as we spin that down, we have some unique features that we can do in regards to selecting whether we have a lot of white cells with that concentration of blood or have what's called leukocyte poor, which is a low concentration of white blood cells. With that PRP, we also can do something called PPP, which is platelet poor plasma, where some studies have shown in muscle tears that actually is a very good treatment option for folks.
And Dr. Dale, tell me, so a lot of times cortisone injections, our patients like to call them, right? So a steroid injection, how does this align with that? Very similar outcomes, better, worse, has to be the right patient?
I mean, it's kind of it's not a straightforward answer, but yeah. With typically how I explain cortisone injections to patients is that it's not something that's going to actually heal the tissue, right? It's more of a quote unquote Band-Aid that's going to maybe help with their pain, their inflammation, so that the patient can go forward and do physical therapy and help rehab, you know, the stuff around that joint or that tendon or that ligament. Whereas PRP is actually in the realm of regenerative medicine, where injecting this this platelet solution can actually help to induce a healing response through controlled inflammatory factors and things like that to actually help repair the diseased or damaged tendon. So it's less of a Band-Aid and more of a patchwork framework that's going to help heal the tissue itself.
Are you finding that people are surprised that this is an option, you know, as medicine becomes, I guess, more and more modern? Pardon the cliche there.
I mean, I would say it's something that's becoming more relevant in our practice. I have more patients asking about it in general, you know, with all the tech out there. I mean, PRP is not even the only regenerative medicine option out there anymore. And I'll get patients ask me about some other regenerative options, but yeah, it's something that I can offer in addition to the cortisone, or if cortisone didn't work or had a partial response, that I'll tell patients about it and they'll be like, oh, this is actually something that potentially might work for me. So it's nice to have that extra step if they failed other things.
And is that something, I think, Dr. Porter, you mentioned, you know, mild osteoarthritis. So this is not something for someone who's been told they need a knee replacement and they're looking for an alternative.
Exactly. Yeah. So the studies have shown with folks that have like severe bone on bone arthritis, like the PRP is not going to change that environment, that structure, because that friction and such, what's seen with the osteoarthritis, allow like extra cartilage to grow or anything like that nature.
So you mentioned knees and then you talked about tendonitis. So what are common kind of afflictions that our listeners might have that they might think, oh, this might be something I should talk to my doctor about?
Oh yeah, I can take that away. So essentially anywhere there is a tendon, there's the potential for PRP. but also looking at some of the joints, anything that might be afflicted with, you know, mild arthritis. So the shoulder joint, the hip joint, I think I've seen it in some subtalar ankle joint regions as well. But yeah, like anywhere there's a tendon or a partial tearing or something like that. Some common areas, we've done some rotator cuff pathologies. So if you have a partial tear, tendinopathy, calcific tendonitis, you can get good responses from those. biceps tendon injections as well. The elbow, you've got your lateral and medial epicondyle, mm-hmm. so your tennis and your golf elbow. People respond very well. I think there's actually the most data for the epicondylitis that's out there. And then you've also got your hip pathologies. So we talked about the arthritis already, but your gluteal tendons that help stabilize the pelvis. IT band has a potential for injection. In the knees, you've got your the knee joint itself. I've had some people do some MCL, LCL. So the stabilizers on the outside of the knee. We've done some hamstring PRP as well. I think Dr. Porter's done a few athletes with partial tears of the hamstring that he's helped rehab with PRP and then the subsequent rehab afterward. And the patellar tendon is another, you have like your basketball players, your runners, your jumpers who might benefit from it as well. And then down in the ankle, there's been some evidence for PRP in the Achilles tendon, the plantar fascia, the posterior tibial tendon, you name it. We could probably have a discussion about it.
So then it goes, the age-wise, it just runs the gamut then, right? Is there a limit, yeah. or is there are you too young at some point, or what are we looking at?
Yeah, Dr. Dale, I don't know the youngest person that you've done it in, but for me, it's probably someone in their 20s is the youngest I've done, and the oldest is probably in their 70s.
Yeah, I think I in my fellowship training, we had done PRP on a hamstring in a 17-year-old that was getting ready for his senior year, so... You can, there's definitely, if you have the pathology and you've responded to prior interventions, or you think you might respond to that, there's really not an upper limit or a lower limit to indicate this procedure.
Now, you mentioned a lot of areas where you can inject. And so some of those are big, some of those are really small. And I think that brings up another topic that often we see coming out of sports medicine are ultrasound guided injections. So obviously you're using an ultrasound, but tell us more about that.
So it's kind of important to get the medication to where we want to be treating. Landmark guided injections are great, and they can be a good starting place. But for example, the shoulder, there's a lot of areas that can mimic pain. And so you have your AC joint, your biceps tendon, subacromial bursa space, you have the glenohumeral joint. And so, yeah, with your landmark guided injections, the studies show that, hey, they're maybe not the most accurate at getting it to the place that we're intending it to get to. So that allows us to use the ultrasound, because with the ultrasound, you can see structures like bones, bursas, tendons, and muscles. And by seeing them, you can visualize the needle to that space and know that you're getting that anesthetic medication or that steroid medication right to that space. So then the patient can tell you, hey, that was my problem area. Hey, that feels a lot better now. Or it's not the right space. And then we can try another approach.
What is there anything else that you want to talk about or get across that you don't think we've discussed and we really think the patients need to know about?
I think another aspect with the ultrasound guided interventions is that, like, the ultrasound can be used to evaluate something from a dynamic standpoint. So unlike where you get an MRI or an X-ray, where that's just a single picture in time, we can actually move the shoulder and see if there's actually impingement occurring. Or we can look at the back of the knee and see if there's actually a Baker cyst or is there an abscess. And so that's something pretty powerful that technology has allowed us to do with the advent of ultrasound becoming a lot more readable in the office. And that helps us to deliver just better patient care.
Yeah. So when you're saying that, I'm envisioning in my head like kind of like a 3D image. Is that an accurate assessment of what you're talking about?
So in my mind, I'm building a 3D image, but I have to take the two-dimensional image that's on the ultrasound machine and create that to form that 3D image.
Okay.
Yeah. really interesting. I've had the pleasure of working with Dr. Porter on one of our local university's sidelines. And so the ability to have an athlete right there, and he actually on the sideline to his phone, right, can look and see with the pathology that we have, do they need to stay out? Can they play? What can we start right away for rehab instead of waiting for that image? So I think it's really true that that technology piece is really helpful.
Well, I'll ask that question then, talking about athletes and, you know, are they ready to play? Can they go back in? Things like that. Is that one of the more difficult parts of your jobs when you're dealing with the sports medicine end of things, trying to get athletes to realize that maybe they need to take a step back and and wait it out, as uncomfortable and then maybe frustrating as that might be for them?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the more challenging aspects of the job, because nobody wants to be the bad guy. And it's one of those things, like, not a specific injury for one person might mean you're out, but for another person, it might mean, okay, we can kind of baby this along if, you know, this is your senior year and you're in your last couple games, you know? So it's all about context, and there is no black or white, you know, answer for a specific injury necessarily. I mean, certain things, yeah, you're out. If you tear your ACL, there's a good chance you're going to, you know, need that fixed and be out. But much to be said about building the relationship with the athletes over time and really like saying, okay, this is what the injury is, and this is what we're looking at. If you take some time off, you've got, your whole life to keep playing, or you only have this season. I think it's challenging, but it's also one of the parts of sports medicine I really like, is getting to build that relationship and say, okay, we've gotten you this far. What's our goal? How are we going to go forward and get you to your goal ultimately? What is that going to look like? And if you do have to take a few weeks off, it is what it is. But if we can get you back better, stronger, faster, it's even better, right? So just having that relationship and getting to build that with a team, an athlete, or a group can be really rewarding too.
Well, I never had to worry about that in my younger days. I was not enough of an athlete to have to worry about missing games.
And important too, right, that I think sometimes we focus on ages of where people can be, that this is something that encompasses all ages. So maybe not the injection, but the medicine that you practice.
That's absolutely right. I think that's the cool thing about Dr. Dale and myself, is we're both family medicine trained in regards to our background. So we first spent, first 3 years of residency seeing, from babies all the way up to the oldest person you can think of. I think it was 105 for me. Was the oldest person I've seen. But because of that, we have that background. And so then we can take that through the lens of sports medicine to care for those folks.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for your time. We really appreciate it. And we know that this advice and this information that you've given our viewers and listeners is going to go a long way and hopefully help them live a healthier, more active lifestyle. So really appreciate your time.
Welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, I think, Steve, a great podcast today that talked to us a little bit more about options in healthcare. And I think it's so important for us to have options, like Dr. Dale said to us, whether you are playing for a semi-professional team or you're someone that just likes to play pickleball on the weekends or maybe needs a little bit of help with their day-to-day ambulation or use of their arms. So really interesting to hear about options that maybe for those who don't want to undergo a surgery or who are just trying to heal in a conventional way. So a lot of information for us all to digest, and hopefully look forward to hearing from Dr. Dale and Dr. Porter again about some other options that they can offer to our patients.
Yes, absolutely. Great guest today. And if you'd like some more information about how to live a healthier, more active lifestyle, be sure to check out guthrie.org/engage. Until next time, have a great week, Dr. Johnson.
Take care.